From Washington, D.C., this is Capitol Update, the podcast from Congressman John Hostetler. National defense is a topic of paramount importance today as America finds itself at war. In Indiana, Hoosiers are supporting our nation's warfighters in critical ways that often go unrecognized. Crane Naval Surface Warfare Center in Crane, Indiana, is one such example. In this podcast, Congressman Hostetler sits down with Vice Admiral Pete Nanos, former commander of Naval Sea Systems Command, to discuss this important installation in our military arsenal. A look at Crane, Part 2, today on Capitol Update.
Well, and that brings us around to another issue that before I got this job, I didn't quite realize how integrally involved with industry that Crane is. And you mentioned something about supporting an industrial capability that ultimately had the production line had to ultimately be assumed by Crane, but. Could you speak a little bit about how Crane supports these critical industrial capabilities such as microwave tubes, batteries, interconnect technologies? One of the things that has really come to the forefront with us most recently, and Lou Dobbs even had a segment on his program on CNN a few weeks ago about printed circuit boards and how Crane is the Defense Department and go-to operation for printed circuit boards, but it's also helping to sustain the industrial base, the commercial industrial base for printed circuit boards. How does a government facility like Crane, and maybe especially Crane, help to support an industrial capability that without a place like Crane would not be able to be supported at all in the United States and would have to be completely turned over to a foreign country, or our warfighter couldn't have that capability at all?
Well, it's a little bit of an intricate answer, but let me kind of put it this way. If you look at 25 years ago, before the advent of really modern, what I'll call the modern electronics revolution that occurred in the 90s, you know, things like the iPods and the really the real burgeoning of commercial electronic product. The DoD was in the forefront of electronics development, and our investments and our programs were pretty much driving the industry. Today, that's no longer true. The commercial marketplace for particularly consumer electronics and that sort of thing is really thoroughly driving the industry now, and the military component of electronics production in the country is very, very small, and it has almost no leverage. So when we're building militarized equipment that has to have the special characteristics necessary to sustain in combat, we're often faced with a case where the production lots are relatively small compared to what gets built for consumer electronics, and often there's only enough business there to, say, support one supplier. When the government was a much bigger part of the business 25, 30 years ago, sometimes we'd have two or three manufacturers for a given product. Today, sometimes on our more intricate systems, aircraft and other things, where we're only buying a few hundred, and then we're buying a few hundred of the objects plus the spares, that's really, sometimes it's only one supplier. And if we get into trouble with that one supplier, or if there's an issue, then the program is totally, Navy term now, in irons. And by the way, at DTRA, I'm learning more Army and Air Force terms, but maybe we talk about it being in irons. You're at a dead stop while you sort the problem out. That's where an organization like Crane is so valuable, because they're in the technologies and they're experts. They can help you quickly sort it out. They can set up an alternate production line. They can help get it going. They can sustain your needs while things are being sorted out. And when you look at something like batteries, for example, there are so few batteries of these specialized batteries made, and Crane is really the expertise of the entire country in this one particular area. And the production of those is so small, you don't get multiple producers, and there's just not a lot of call for it, so the industry is not really investing in the brain trust necessary to sustain it over the long term. So without the DoD capability, unique DoD technical capability, we would have a great deal of difficulty.
And that brings us to another discussion of that technical capability and a community of professionals and facilities that can support that. A lot of times our constituents look at the military as being able to affect change or be able to leverage itself against commercial activities and commercial production. But we can't always go to industry and find the capabilities that we need in the military. As you mentioned, the scale is such that the commercial, the industry as far as commercial products are driving things, and so we don't necessarily, the Department of Defense, the U.S. military, doesn't necessarily have as big a place at the table, if you will, in these major decisions that are made with regard to the infrastructure of electronics manufacturing and support and that sort. So why is it important to maintain this technical community, this technical capability within the Department of Defense, as opposed to going to industry and saying, we need this, supply it to us?
I believe it's an economic question, and let me tell you what I mean by that. In certain cases, I think where we have enough business in an area and we've got a center of excellence in industry that's well enough funded over the long term, and we can keep a steady supply of funding and tasks going to that sector, I think it's possible to have industry support. The problem is there are so many different areas. You know, industry, they're like all the rest of us. They want to be paid every 2 weeks.
Right.
And so if your business in an area is relatively small, in other words, when you go through a development process and you've gone through production, and the size of the investment gets small, industry is going to switch its resources on behalf of its stockholders to the next large job to try to move itself. And if the logistics tail is part of it is fairly small, sometimes it's difficult for them to support. Not that they don't want to; it's very expensive. So for a lot of those products, it's good to have a DoD organization that has in other words, can service several of these different areas and can have enough economies of scale to be able to support that for the DoD. So I've often felt that it's important to recognize you can't go all the way to one extreme or another. There are some areas where the industry model works just fine. There's some areas where that industry model tends to break down, and you need support from a DoD organization. And I think applying both to the problem judiciously is the way to go. And so I tend to cringe whenever I see somebody touting either one solution or another.
Right.
I think it's the mixed solution, and we've got to it's our job to make sure we keep telling that story to let people know that's the way it needs to be done.
And that mixed solution is being applied at Crane, would you not say?
Yes, and all of our warfare center divisions and shipyards and other things, they make, even within that organization, they make economic decisions. They make make or buy decisions. They'll use their internal staff, or if it's something where it's not a real growth path for the institution, but yet they have the ability to manage it overall. They'll bring in industrial partners even within the lab. And that's the strength, by the way, of having an industrially funded organization that can act as a business, link up with other businesses, and form partnerships and creators and things like that. It works, I think, very much to our benefit.
And I know Crane is very involved in the application of COTS, commercial off-the-shelf technology, where they want the least expensive, most effective resource to hand to the warfighter. And if that means that they can exploit technology that is out there mass-produced and harden it, or in some other way modify it to best apply to the mission of the warfighter, they'll do that, and that's what continually not amazes me about Crane, but encourages me about Crane, is that they are willing and able to use whatever capabilities are out there, and if they're not out there, they'll make them up. They'll create them to best benefit the warfighter, and they know that the warfighter might not have all the money in the world for that program to have it all come from scratch from Crane, and so they're willing and able to think outside the box and literally go to the shelf and say, this is technology we don't have to create because it's already here, and we can apply it to this mission, and it benefits everybody.
I have to smile because I can remember that very well because in Crane's involvement, because it was during the mid-80s when that was first talked about, and Crane was a part of a group that got together. It was actually, again, with the special program, because we were interested in seeing if we could use COTS and strategic nuclear systems, which was a real leap.
Yeah, yes.
And we actually formulated a whole set of business rules on how you do that and how you manage COTS over the long term, and Crane was a big part of that. So it's, in other words, it's not just using the commercial product, but the way you manage the life cycle is different.
Right.
And you can, and they help put the intellectual capital into helping us figure that out.
Well, that's neat. It's like my dad said, you learn something new every day, and I just did, so that's wonderful. Admiral, there's much discussion in the upper echelons of the Pentagon on the concept of jointness, or purpleness, as some call it. How do you see this concept as being beneficial to our military goals?
Well, first of all, I have to say that it's much beyond being a concept. If you look at our operations today, and not just the fact that we've got multiple services involved, but if you look at how we're organizing the fight and how the planning and management is done, it's hugely integrated in joint today, and we really are it's a mature process now that we've gotten to, and so joint is the way of the future, and you're seeing more and more of the equipment capabilities of the various services coming together. I mean, if you'd have told me that the air support in the fight in Afghanistan would have been conducted by Navy attack aircraft off an aircraft carrier 800 miles away, tanked into the fight by the Air Force, I never would have guessed that the brunt of the close air support would have been borne by the Navy with a target that far inland. And it was, you know, and there's an example of the total integration of, you know, the Air Force logistics, the Navy strike aircraft, the basing from the Navy. You know, it was just a total integration of capability fundamentally at the tactical level, and it was absolutely a thing of beauty. And I think, so I think that you'll see that as being absolutely the rule from now on.
What was your experience with jointness at Crane? How did you see it playing out?
Well, I was not as directly involved with the product lines, the joint product lines at Crane, because namely I was responsible for the Navy side of the product lines. But if you look at the capability that they have, they are one of the centers, and particularly their tremendous role in logistics. In my experience has been that every year that gets more and more integrated. So, the biggest part of the base at Crane is now managed by the Army.
Uh-huh.
It's
yes.
the storage of all the gun ammunition, and so there's an example. It's a Navy base. The ammunition manager is the Army, and that's the way it is now. So it's our supply chain is becoming absolutely integrated.
And finally, Admiral, given all that we've discussed, what do you see for the future at Crane, and what suggestions would you give us to aid in its future?
Well, I see Crane continuing to evolve. And again, being the what I want to call the high tech, they have their main product lines, responsibilities like logistics and that sort of thing. But I see Crane continuing to have the 911. You've got a problem, call Crane; they'll help sort it out for you. Kind of organization, and I see that as a tremendous. I think the strength of Crane is in the people. And in the tremendous strength of the technical talent and managerial talent of the people, and I think it's a very blessed institution in that regard, and I see that as a tremendous resource for the country. And my advice to Crane is to keep doing what you do well, keep migrating into the new technologies as they come along, and recognize that. That there is always going to be this between the customer and industry. There's always going to be the need for the role for someone to help it work and help it fit together. But I have to admit, though, that I really do feel I've got a conflict of interest now with Crane, since I left the Naval Sea Systems Command. My son has married a wonderful young woman from Bloomington. And I now have two mini Hoosiers, twin granddaughters.
Wonderful.
And so I feel closer to Southern Indiana all the time.
That's right. Well, we like those types of conflict of interest. And Admiral, I just want to say thank you once again for coming and sharing with us here on our podcast. And thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule. This is not in your ordinary routine of work. And you have come and shared with us your experience with Crane and given us some wonderful insight on Crane. There will be people that have experience with Crane and former employees, current employees with Crane that will know a lot about what you've been talking to us about. There will be folks that have never visited Crane and have never heard of Crane. They're going to have insight into this gem in Southwest Indiana. And I wanted to thank you for sharing with us, and especially thank you for your long years of service and continued service to our country and to our national defense. You have brought not only Crane but the Navy and our military through very trying times, and you continue to work in these areas that are so much in the news and so much on our hearts and minds. And we ask that God continue to bless you in what you do in your continued service, as well as your family and your growing family and your growing ties to Southwest Indiana. Thank you.
This concludes our discussion on Crane Naval Surface Warfare Center between Congressman John Hostetler and Vice Admiral Pete Nanos, former commander of Naval Sea Systems Command. And to our listeners, thank you for listening. Please send us questions or comments about this podcast via email to john.hostetler, that's H-O-S-T-E-T-T-L-E-R, @mail.house.gov. Please include the word podcast in the subject line. Also, please visit our website. You can check the latest from Washington, sign up for our e-newsletter, and much, much more. The address is www.house.gov/Hostetler. Until next time, this is Capital Update, the podcast from Congressman John Hostetler.